Is that you, Wes?
It's me. How you doing? Hey,
well, I'm good, but you don't have the white in your face anymore again. What's
going on? Yeah, I mean, it's starting to bleed through a little bit, but rocking the cool Santa Claus look is not my wife's favorite.
That's probably so. Apparently, I kind of like that look, which that sounds a little odd to say, but I saw your wife wins, is what you're telling me.
You know what? If you treat your wife like a thoroughbred, you'll never end up with a nag. You know, we just had Ben on. Zig said that more than once around them.
Zig said that many a times, and we've, I think we've heard that a few times from Ben, so you are 100% right. So, well, good. Hey, it's great to see you, and man, we're switching gears a little bit today, which I love, because I think it's a great subject. We're going to talk a lot about mental health in the workplace, mental health, especially in the construction world, with somebody that is a pro in this arena and speaks out a lot about it and is really an advocate for the folks that need that help, that don't ask for that help, and get stigmatized by the fact that I think men in general, and we'll talk with Sarah about this in just a minute, Dr. Sarah, but it's hard for guys sometimes to go, I got a problem. You go home and you lock yourself in a room and drink 10 beers and go to bed, right? Because we don't want to address that, right? And so I think it's really great that we're going to get that out in the open a little bit. So unless you got anything else, I mean, I enjoy sitting here talking to you, but since we're not going to break bread and drink a vino or Dr. Pepper today, I suppose we should just go get Sarah on. What do you think?
I think she's going to be much more interesting than me, although I am wearing it. You know, they say an apple a day keeps the doctor away. So I wore red to you know, kind of fit the bill here.
I don't know what kind of apple that is, because that's more burgundy, dude. You colorblind or something. All right. But we'll go with that. Hey, you got the ability to pull the plug and shut me off anytime you want. So I guess I'll just go with that and say that's apple red. And
okay,
brother, I love it, brother. All right, man, let's go get Sarah.
All right.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer-director Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
What? Dr. Sarah is here? Are you kidding me?
I'm here. Thank you so much for having me. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I am well. Okay, physically I'm pretty good. Mentally, I'm never so sure, as Wes would attest to. But I'm doing well. It's just great to get another day, right?
Absolutely. Last time you and I talked, you were on the road, so it's nice to see you stationary for a second. It takes some of that pressure off of having to focus a little bit, doesn't it?
Well, you're supposed to focus when you drive? Oh, I didn't read that part.
Maybe tomorrow.
Tomorrow, I'll focus. Yeah, no, yesterday was one of those days, too, where it's very rainy. If anybody watches the news at all, it's been super rainy here in Florida in general, in southern Florida. The streets have been floodings and a lot. So, yeah, I did that to do a little extra focus the last couple of days, because I drove about 5 hours 2 days in a row with nothing but rain. So that was less than fun. But
well, I'm hoping you get some downtime. I think that's critical. So.
I will try. So let's get started. Talk about downtime. So Dr. Sarah, you are you're a chiropractor by practice, I guess, on a daily basis, but you also do so much more. You're really an advocate of and a speaker about the whole world of mental illness and metal, taking care of your mental health and what goes on in the construction world and other industries. And so just tell us who you are and let's just get started.
So I actually am a chiropractor, like you mentioned. So I'm in Metro Detroit. So I saw a lot of corporate people day in and day out. So a lot of people ask, you know, do you have a specific niche of patients that you saw when you first started practicing? And to be honest with you, the population we saw the most of were people were coming at their lunch hour, trying to fit in all the necessary daily life things while also respecting that their organization didn't give them a lot of flexibility to do a lot of these things, kind of not recognizing that they're people and parents and they have things outside of work that they need to get done. And so slowly but surely, I started to recognize that there was a big gap between what people actually needed in their day, and actually seeing my dad do the same thing while I was growing up in the corporate world. And so I just really started to get very indignant on this idea that corporations, organizations are just really getting it wrong when it comes to helping, serving, loving people instead of treating them kind of like another number. You know, we use catchphrases like turnover rates and employees are lazy and they need to be motivated. I actually recently sat at a conference with 1,000 people, and they actually said that people need to be bribed by food in order to do their job. And the narrative that we've created in this world is that people don't inherently want to do a good job, and people inherently don't want to feel fulfillment in the work that they do. And I think that's the wrong narrative. I think if people's brains were functioning like they should, whether it's physical tasks, emotional tasks, decision-making tasks, then the conversation would be totally different.
Yeah, you know, what you just struck at it, because that is the narrative, I think, 100% is people are lazy and don't want to work, don't want to do anything. They just want to go home and play and grab a six-pack of beer and a candy bar and a pack of smokes on the way home. And that's really all they want to do all of life, right? And I think you're right. Is there some of that? Maybe, probably. But I would say the general large percent of the populace would like to be involved and care about what they're doing if they're just allowed to do it, right?
I think we get what we expect. You know, if you really start to look at social norms and social standards, if you expect your employees to be great and you praise them, they are going to rise to the occasion. If you are mean and horrible to your spouse, to your employees, you kind of get what you give. That's the whole psychology of how the brain works. Nobody who's getting mistreated at work is going to rise to the occasion and say, oh, I'm going to prove my boss wrong. And so I think there's a little bit of coping right now because people feel justified to behave the way they do, right? So My employees aren't showing up the way they want to, so I'm going to be indignant and I'm going to say I'm going to show up the way I do too. And it's just this back and forth. And I think there's a little bit of accountability we all need to take. You know, I did a presentation for the AGC last year, and part of my presentation was, are you showing up like the person that you expect your employees to be? And the idea of, you know, alcohol consumption, you know, addictive habits, suicidal thoughts all came up with the idea that people are doing the best that they can. And I really encourage them to lean into places where they can make different choices. Because if you're a different leader and you're a different employee, that gives people the space and opportunity to start leading themselves, which I think is hard for people to do, especially when the narrative is people are just lazy and we'll just replace them with someone else. And it doesn't really matter who they are. I disagree. I think each person brings their own sense of creativity when they're feeling safe and their brain is functioning like they should. And I've seen time and time again where people are brought into the fold and they find new ways to do revenue, new products that they can offer, new ways that they can collaborate with other industries that never would have been present if that person hadn't been specifically there. So I just think we're missing the mark, and I think people are getting sicker because of it.
So there's a lot more to be, and I'm listening to that and there's a lot there. Being the boss, being the owner, being the management, whatever title that happens to look like, there's a lot more there than just hiring this person and telling them where their desk or their workstation is. And by golly, you better do your job or you're going to get fired. I mean, and that is the management style of some people, right? And that just simply does not work.
Well, it doesn't work because the same issues that they're trying to fight against and manipulate and control in their either entry-level employee or someone who's, you know, working at mid-level management is the same issue that most people in the industry from a CEO, C-suite, owner perspective are fighting, which is, you know, the CEO will say, I'm exhausted all the time. I have decision fatigue. I'm sick of running a business and I'm overwhelmed. And the person who's entry level is coming in and saying they're the decisions they're making are putting, you know, themselves in danger. They're running machines or they're lifting heavy equipment. There's real consequences. And either way, that's a surface level explanation that neither one of them can use their brain the way they need to. And so what happens is the person who's the CEO or the owner who's fatigued is now saying, well, since I can't manage myself and I don't feel very good, I have to manage someone else around me. And instead of giving them the autonomy to make the decisions that they know they need to step into making, it now becomes a control issue back and forth. And that's why things like trainings for personality conflicts, DISC and stuff like that, oftentimes fall flat because the conversation really is not, is my personality mirror yours? Are we, can we work together? You know, are they jarring to each other? It really is. Do, am I adaptable as a person in any given situation to be adaptable to a situation where there's another employee in the room? And when your brain's completely stressed and overwhelmed, you're not able to adapt in that situation. So we're kind of muddying the waters as far as saying, well, we just have different personality types. Well, sure, you may have different personality types, but when your brain and your nervous system are able to adapt to the situations that you're in, it doesn't matter who you're confronted with, you can regulate yourself and feel great and not be sick.
So is this a natural ability for some people and a trained ability for others? I assume anybody could be trained in this to some degree, but are there people that naturally have this ability? I'm sure there's some that have more than others, right? But how much of this is relying on just you being a quote good person that's just naturally a good leader and cares and understands versus I need to understand if I'm going to be a good leader and lead my organization, lead my business, I got to be better at this. And it's probably my responsibility first as the leader, right?
Well, it's been an interesting change of events because I've spent a lot of time in the construction world over the last several years where I've got to see firsthand on the opposite side of things, the inner workings of how the industry actually runs. And I don't think it really has anything to do with good or bad person. I think it has to do with the fact that society wants to ingrain a certain set of beliefs into us. And it's all we hear about, right? Any article you read on Forbes, any construction magazines you read, you know, employees are apathetic to change. And again, the narrative that we're apathetic to change is really we don't have a way to help our employees, help our owners, our C-suite, and also help our customers at the same time. So I think people just deflect to talking about things that they don't have solutions to because the underlying issue is we don't really know how to solve this problem. So we have to make someone wrong about it. And the employee just has been made wrong about it. And on the opposite side, you know, if you ask employees why they left an organization, most of them will say it's because they didn't like leadership or they had a falling out with leadership or they had a conflict of interest. You know, I don't really think anybody wants to start a career or job, you know, over and over again to just land in a new place with different issues, which comes back to the adaptation portion of it. If we can find a way to adapt in the environment that we're in and still thrive, everybody wins. So it's not about right or wrong. It's about just the awareness that there is a solution out there that allows people to stop micromanaging what's actually happening.
You know, I was just looking at your website that Wes has put up there, and it struck me right out of the gate, the amount of lost. Okay, let's back up. We ought to do certain things because it's the right thing, right? I mean, people deserve to be treated with some respect and a safe workplace and a healthy workplace. So, I mean, I think it should start there. But strictly from a productivity standpoint, the amount of hours, I think I saw it as he was scrolling 1.5 billion hours lost to these kind of issues, right? To people without having good brain health and have the issues that creates. I mean, that's a dollar and cents thing. Forget the right and wrong and just being good people. That's a dollar and cents thing that you can take right to the bottom line, right?
Right. Well, and construction is one of those industries that really doesn't like to focus on soft skills. They want the hard numbers, right? We want to implement a new software that helps show how many days we've had since an injury, how much more efficient we are. I sat next to a guy when I was at a conference last year, and one of the questions that he asked when I chose to be an audience member when they had a panel discussion was, we want to implement some new software in our company. And the you know, old timers who have been here and the people who just started, there's a conflict of how that should be done. And so the narrative then became that because of the different types of people at the organization, there was no way to implement new software into the organization. And so when we start really thinking about brass tacks, about all the things that you can't implement within your organization for all the reasons that we just talked about, productivity, creativity, high turnover rate, absenteeism, whatever, injury on the workplace. If we actually broke down all of the big decisions that you can't make that you've put on hold, it definitely is a dollar and cents thing. Even aside from paying your employees and hiring employees, even aside from the employees, the hard cost of doing business, you're wasting so much time and energy because you're not working with people who are fully there to be creative and adapt. You're dealing with people who have learned to cope with so much stress that they're just physically present and mentally just getting by.
That's interesting. So you have a lot of these people that are spending productive time, what could be, should be productive time, just trying to deal with the fact that I'm just trying to get through today here because I don't like something that's happened or happening or feel I'm being treated wrong, feel I'm unsafe, whatever the cases may be. They're spending an awful lot of time not being productive due to things that probably could be solved with some back and forth conversation, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more to it than just conversation, but an awareness about it certainly brings people together, right? Everything so far has been very divisive, right? I have something going on. I have to find time outside of work. I mean, they're starting suicide prevention days within the construction world. They've got task force. Like, they're eager to solve the problem. And to your point earlier, a lot of men, particularly in the industry, you don't want to talk about emotions. You don't want to talk about weaknesses. You don't want to talk about any of those things. And when you bring brain health into it, you can have the conversation without having to talk about any one of those things. Because even aside from, I feel mentally fine, I feel overly, you know, satisfied with my life, you know, there's different parts of your brain that get hijacked when you are not functioning at your optimum. You know, 75% of hospital visits are due to stress-related things, things that you would never really believe are stress-related. And so, like, the parts of the brain that get hijacked because of chronic stress, things that we don't manage, I mean, things like reasoning, things like ability to communicate with other people, things like self-regulation, you know, all those decision-making, you know, imagine being out on a job site where you're working with machines and equipment that weigh a ton, that are highly dangerous if not managed correctly. If you're having an off day, you drank too many beers the night before, you're already not feeling yourself, you don't even realize that your brain's not functioning like it should, your decision-making ability that day is going to be affected. Same thing with someone, a CEO going into a meeting, they're trying to negotiate a new contract, right? That CEO did everything he normally does, which is, you know, I had a couple beers, I had a glass of wine before I went to bed the night before, maybe smokes, maybe doesn't work out, doesn't eat anything like they should, doesn't have any of the tools or resources to take care of themselves. They're showing up the best the way they know how, which is amazing that they're showing up in that way. But the outcome of these different meetings, whether it's a CEO trying to navigate a contract or someone trying to manage heavy equipment, the outcome when the brain is not working optimally can be catastrophic, and it's very costly. And we don't address that at all. We just think that these people are who they are. Their brain was the same as it is today and will be tomorrow. Your brain is very malleable and can make, you can be a vastly different person with the right skills, tools, and partnership with an organization to do so.
And I would assume, Sarah, that your brain function, if you will, if that's the right word I want to use, is going to vary from day to day too. You're going to chalk up a bad day. That's just a bad day. So how do we? And I think that's a something we have to learn to accept from ourselves and from our people and from our bosses. Right? That there are days that. I guess let me ask you this: is that a fair assumption? Man, he or she just had a bad day today. But do we want to say, generally speaking, they do pretty good. So obviously this was just a bad day. And do you let that go? Do you address it? Do you, what do you do with situations like that?
Well, we aren't robots. So to have the assumption that employees are not going to have off days is a little misguided. There's a difference between having an off day, you didn't sleep well, you got into an argument with someone, you know, you've got a lot on your brain. There's a big difference between that and noticing a trend in someone who's normally starting to withdraw, can't engage in a regular conversation without getting, you know, animated, aggressive. So a lot of it depends on trends as well. And one of the things that we just don't encourage enough is just pulling someone aside and just saying, hey, Randy, listen, normally we're totally in sync. I love working with you. I just wanted to make sure everything's okay. Something seems off today. And I think what happens is that's seen as a vulnerability. You know, you're not going to get the promotion. You're going to lose your job. You're not going to be seen as weak. And I think part of the win for everybody is that when you care about other people and you go first, oftentimes people respond, you know, in a useful way. By just asking, it opens the door to have that conversation. And even if it's a short conversation, hey, thanks so much for checking in today. I just got a lot on my mind today. Thanks so much for asking. It starts to open the dialogue to reintroduce to people that we are all going to have different types of days, but our brain being able to adapt in those days is a lot different when our brain is functioning than when it's not functioning. So is the person coping? Do they have coping strategies? If you hear things like, you know, I have to drink wine, I have to drink alcohol, you know, I'm smoking more, you know, just really those coping behaviors that people do to kind of numb themselves out becomes a different conversation, because ultimately alcohol consumption, smoking, marijuana, things like that not only affect the brain on a day-to-day decision-making capacity, but also end up leading to early Alzheimer's, early dementia, Parkinson's disease. And so people who are already not taking great care of themselves don't even realize that they're signing themselves up for a long time retirement of disability, because the choices they're making now to cope is also what's killing your brain.
So as a employee, let's say from an employee standpoint, can you learn to properly recognize some of those signs, or are you numb to that to the point that this may be happening to you, but you don't even see it because it's you can't see the forest for the trees, right? An old statement. I mean, or can you learn through some training, through some programs that you guys do, that I got some kind of problem going on here, and maybe I'm not even sure what it is yet, but something's just not right. Is that teachable from yourself? Obviously, the flip side of that, and we can do both at once here, I guess, or you can roll where you want with it. But obviously, as we train leaders, you want to be cognizant of recognizing, seeing that as well. Like you said, hey, is everything okay? Seems a little off. But can we train ourselves to recognize that within ourselves?
So I found that the only way that people do that by themselves is they have someone that walks alongside them that they feel comfortable with, that they can relate to. And what I mean is, if I got on this podcast and just said, employees are the worst, I would never hire anybody else, I just think they're lazy, you know, and then I walk into a company after just having this conversation with people, and then I put on the narrative that I think you can grow and expand, nobody's going to open up to me because they already know that I've already judged them and there's no change. So, you know, I really come in with a really empathetic heart. I think change is possible. I think judgment is very strong with people. And since I'm not affiliated with an organization, it's a lot easier to be objective, and it's a lot easier to stand on my own rather than fall on the sword of what a company stands for, believes, you know, embodies. So being on my own, I get to draw my own conclusions. You know, I'm nobody's mouthpiece. And so when I get to go in and assess organizations and actually get to the bottom of what's going on, I don't get to favor anybody. You know, the CEO doesn't get to be any more right than the employee, right? We're here to get some change. We're here to make sure that we can improve the bottom line and improve the soft skills of your employee. But I think once people have someone, people compassionate enough to walk alongside them, I think empowering other people is another key component that I think is really missing. Most people don't feel like they can do anything to help themselves in a situation. They feel like they have to go to someone else. They have to go to a doctor. They have to pay someone. And really what I encourage people to recognize and understand is, once you are empowered as an individual with the right tools and the right people to walk alongside you, it's amazing to me how easy it is for people to start checking into and making different choices in regards to their physical health, their mental health, their emotional health. It's almost like someone gave them the keys and said, you are the master of your own life. And right now what's happening is everyone's saying, you are not the master of your own life. You are not in control of your life. You are not in control of how you feel. You have to just go through the motions. You have to wait till you retire to do all the things that you want to do. And once people recognize that they have far more control in their life, I think they start making different decisions in their home life and in their professional life.
And there's got to be probably more crossover between those two than what we may, as novices or untrained people in this field, recognize, right? Martha Beck, an author, that I've read, and she's a podcaster. I enjoy some of her stuff. She makes a statement that I always thought was very good, is the way you do anything is the way you do everything. It might be the other way around. I forget. But either way, it's the same difference, right? But the way you do everything, the way you do anything. I think it's, but the point is still, you can't just fake it, right? You can't turn it on and off depending on whether you're home with friends, out at the ball game, or at work. You may adjust and you may put up a front, right? But that general thing is still there, isn't it? And so you better get to the root of it. And I think we've already chatted a little bit about that. But if you're feeling miserable in a part of your life, it's going to be hard to be fully functional and happy in any part of your life. Is that an accurate statement?
Well, I mean, look at any area of statistics in the United States right now. Divorce rates are at an all-time high. Turnover in organizations is at an all-time high. Like, every area of where the United States is going right now is declining. And I really think it's because of the tremendous pressure and stress. I mean, I'm not exempt. You know, I was raised, you know, you have 2.5 kids, you buy a house with a white picket fence, you know, everything is mapped out for you. And luckily for me, it took until I became an adult to really recognize, you know, to live is to go find your own path in your own journey, regardless of what event anybody else looks like. And I think that we've created this space where my life has to look like your life in order for my life to be fulfilled. So I have friends of mine who, they had kids, they wish they hadn't had kids. I have friends who got married and they married the wrong spouse because they felt so, you know, it was such an earnest desire to get married and that's what they're supposed to do. And I really want to change the perspective that there's really no supposed tos. How do we make sure that people are taken care of while we increase the bottom line, make sure that people are safe and feel like their work environment is a addition to and an extension of their life, already full life, rather than a very separate siloed part of their life that they just do to make an income and then they go back to their regular life? Because I really don't know very many people who have a stressed work environment where they don't in some capacity take that home to their family and kids. There's just no way. It bleeds all over the place. And those that have to manage emotions when they go home so that way they don't yard sale all over their spouse gets exhausting too, right? You crash, you do it the next day. You know, there's no safety in anything that you do. And that really creates a lot of stress, ultimately physical ramifications, but the emotional toll is really high as well.
Well, and that's a great point. I made a note about that. And you just touched on it, the physical aspect. There's physical, let's say the novice again thinks there's physical health and then there's mental health, but they're nonstop coexistent all day, every day, right? One affects the other way more than we believe, I'm sure.
Right. Well, and if you think about it, I don't think a CEO is any more deserving of a great life than someone who's a blue collar worker. I think everybody deserves to live a great life. And I think access to resources is also really different. But in my experience, those that are not at the mid-level management or C-suite, oftentimes their lifestyles do look a little bit different. No fault of their own. There's no judgment. There's no blame. But hypertension, high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, you know, research shows that all of these things stem from chronic and ongoing stress. And yet we've just termed it as, well, this is just my genetics. This is just the life that I live. This is just what it is. And it makes me sad to think that people don't have someone in their corner because they don't have monetary resources or someone walking alongside them saying, hey, listen, you don't have to be 60 years old and, you know, suffering with all these ailments. There is another way. And unfortunately, when they look at their buddies all working, you know, in the same industry, they look at them and they're like, this is just what it is. This is the life that I've chosen. And that's why part of my big responsibility is to educate and help people know that they have value no matter whether they're making $400,000 a year or whether they're making minimum wage and they're just trying to pay their bills so they can feed their kids.
Well, I think that's a great point. It's easy to put value on positions or places in life, right? A star athlete or an entertainer somehow has more value because they pack stadiums than the EMT guy saving somebody's life this afternoon in an auto accident, right? But I think the point you just hit is, A, there is no difference. They're all of equal value, right? And they all, and I can tell you with that, the entertainment value of watching an entertainer sing for 3 hours is fun and one thing, but I think the value that that EMT that just saved you from dying is probably a whole lot bigger deal, right? To your life. So it proves that that's pretty important.
I live in a relatively affluent area, and one of the most jarring things I've ever realized is I live in an area where most people only have one income. You know, they have the flexibility to spend their extra funding the way they want to, vacations, an extra car, private school, whatever the case may be. And it's astounding to me that with that many resources, they now find making decisions about their health to be an optional thing. Oh, I don't really need to go to the doctor. It's not a critical item right now. But let me tell you, when I was in private practice and I had someone who physically had to do physical labor every day because they needed to pay their bills because their kids were depending on it, right? Their significant other was working one or two jobs. Let me tell you, they never missed their appointment. They followed my recommendations. They started to feel better because they knew they had no option other than to go to work every day. And the grit and determination that I've seen from a lot of these people who would not be considered high level or even high CEO potential are the ones that actually followed through with changing their lives because they had no option. They were backed up against the wall. They knew they had to work. It started with back pain. It started with inability to walk, or it started with nerve pain down their shoulder and then progressed to other things like mental health issues or high blood pressure. All of it's stress related. You know, to a certain extent, you can have a doctor walk alongside you to help, you know, with some of the symptomatology, but it was such an aha moment for me that these people have such hearts of gold and they will do whatever it takes to support their family. And I just don't think they have to work as hard as they do. And they can have people that walk along them and just function in a different way, even if they're making minimum wage. It just astounds me.
Yeah, that is. It's really a, you know, it's a sad statement on society, I guess, that we put so much value on those kind of things and don't put value on the fact that that same person that's minimum wage is going home and taking care of a family, taking care of a sick mom and dad, whatever it is they're doing. And if they're doing all they can do and everything they can do and literally physically, mentally hurting themselves to do it, I don't think we celebrate that enough, I guess is the word I want to use.
Yeah, I would actually argue that people are giving so much of themselves, so much more than the capacity they have because they're not feeling good to the organization that they would have. I would share the sentiment that they are so committed and so eager to do a good job and they're trying as hard as they can that I think we are really undermining the presence and grit that a lot of these employees possess to show up for their job.
Yeah, because it's you think about it and you're right, especially in maybe very high stress type jobs where it's maybe more mental, or equally in very physical jobs where you're literally busting your body to pieces every day just trying to do the work. That amount of stress level that puts on somebody, 1 or 2 days is one thing, a week or two is another thing, but these people do this day after day, year after year, for generations, right? And that's got to take a massive mental toll. Forget the physical part. It's got to be, you can only be in pain and hurting and tired and don't believe anybody cares and name it so long, right? And that just is like a compounding effect, right?
I love using a car analogy because, again, being in Metro Detroit, that's all I've been exposed to my whole life. Mm-hmm. If you take a two-wheel drive convertible and you take it off-roading, something that's meant for a four-wheel drive vehicle, maybe lifted a little bit to clear some of the brush. You take a convertible front-wheel drive off-roading too many times. You leave the top down while it's snowing. You do all these things. Pretty soon you're going to try and sell this convertible and they're going to be like, nobody's going to pay anything for this convertible because it's trashed. And yet you take it to the dealership and a lot of people will be like, well, if you just put a new paint job on it, it's going to make it brand new. And any discerning buyer is going to be like, well, it looks like one of the rims is bent and it looks like the front door is falling off and it looks like the radiator, you know, has a leak in it. You know, we're just not tapping into the solutions that actually exist for us because we're just trying to put pretty paint on something that really needs more intentionality. And to your point, you know, I've had phases in my own life for no fault of my own. Things have come up and I haven't had the capacity to work through and deal with them myself. And thank goodness I have a really supportive family. Obviously, my schooling and my tool set has really helped me. But, you know, I've had so many people in this industry say to me, if I didn't have you to walk alongside me to help me and guide me through some of these decisions and tools and helping my employees, where am I going to get this information from? You're not going to get it from TV. You're not going to get it from ads. You're not going to get it from infomercials. And you're not even going to get it from like regular sitcom, because the way we talk about health is probably not entertaining. It's not funny. It's serious. And there's real solutions out there. So, you know, you really have to find people in your life who think this way, who can help you see a different way, or you're just never going to do it differently. And it makes me sad.
Yeah. And that makes sense because, you know, I think we did touch on this earlier, but it brought it back into light here. It's so easy to do the, well, it is what it is. You know, I've got emotional issues, or I eat too much, or I drink too much, or I smoke too much, or I'm this or I'm that. It's too easy, I think, to just chalk that up to, it's just me. It's just, it is what it is. And I think for the most part, those things with the right people in your corner are fixable, or at least can certainly make them way much more manageable, right? If we just seek out the help and admit that we kind of need some help in this area.
Well, and it's also great to know that people care. I think mm-hmm. that's the other thing that's been pushed quite a bit. You know, you got to go, you got to put your head down, you just got to get the job done. And it's okay to care about other people. You know, if anything, that makes you a better employee, a better friend, a better spouse. It is okay to care about other people and want other people to win. And I think the more we lean into other people winning, I think the more we win. And I think it's got a ripple effect in any area.
That, exactly. That win by helping other people win is huge. You know, I think we're designed to be winners. I think we're designed. And when I say winning, that doesn't mean you just win the ball game or you win weather. I just think we're designed to building a winning lifestyle. And part of the winning lifestyle is doing stuff that's good for you or your people that is important to you, but just doing good for everybody. Because I think what you just said is so spot on. Your mental health is better when you help other people become better, right? By a lot, probably tenfold, hundredfold. I don't know how many X, a lot of X, right?
Do you know how many men I ask when I do this, like, what is one of your main goals in life? And they say to be a good dad. And they know that who they are as a person right now, they cannot be a great dad because they're either short with their kids or they don't have mm-hmm. any capacity or they're tired or they're feeling overwhelmed and stressed out. Like, they know what they want. Men naturally want to be supportive and understanding to their kids and their spouses and all that. And they've gotten a bad rap as well. Same thing with women. They're overly emotional. They can't regulate themselves. They're angry all the time. No matter how you try and box or stereotype people in, people inherently know what they want in life. They just don't know how to bridge the gap of where they are to where they want to be. And it wears on you. And sometimes ultimately people give up and they start to cope. And, you know, unfortunately that's where we are as a society right now, but I still very much think that there is hope.
Well, that's good to hear. And I think you're right. So the key there is to have someone in your corner to help you identify those issues, to try to identify it yourself. But what do they go from as we kind of wind down? You've been very good with your time. I appreciate it. What's the answer for people, I guess, that are sitting there going, this is kind of interesting. And man, a lot of what Dr. Sarah's saying is spot on, man. I'm hearing that. I'm feeling that, or I know somebody that is. Maybe it's my spouse. Maybe it's my kid. Maybe it's a fellow worker, whatever. What's the next step for people that find themselves either personally or somebody they know or care about in that position? What's the next step to deal with that other than saying, well, that's interesting and I know that, but I'm not going to do anything about it?
Well, I think you have to dig a little deeper. You know, if your spouse said to you, you know, nothing's wrong, most people would say, okay, I'm going to give them the space tonight and then I'll follow up tomorrow. Most of you know that what someone's actually saying versus what actually is happening are not the same thing. So you have to go into the conversation and be well adapted to yourself. So if you're having an off day, you're feeling mildly triggered, you're feeling angry, that, you know, then it's not the time to approach a sensitive subject like that with someone else. So you've got to be super intentional. If you're going to go into a conversation where you're going to broach this topic with someone else that you know very well, or you don't know very well, you you've got to know that you're regulated, that you're in a space where you can receive them however they're going to respond. The second thing is you need to be the one to say something to them and from a kind, loving place. Listen, something's off. I'm noticing it. You know, can we take some time to go talk about it and just start the dialogue? I think sometimes people want to go from 0 to 100. So, you know, you're never going to walk up, hey, Randy, I think maybe there's an issue going on. You know, I think we really need to get some help. You're not going to respond to me in that same conversation and say, you're totally right. I think I have a problem. I think this is what I need to do. You know, people need time to respond. You know, stress is a physiological response to perceived stress. So if someone already is feeling like their world is closing in on them, you have to be ginger with your conversation with them and recognize that your only goal is to open a dialogue and a safe place for them to respond back to you. And then from there, you know, you are not responsible for the decisions and the actions that someone else takes or makes. And so at some point you have to recognize that someone else is going to step up to the plate and say, hey, I need some help and you're going to walk alongside me, but it is not your job to go 100% of the way. And I think that's what happens in organizations. There's an either an all or nothing mentality. And again, with someone like an outsider like me who can, you know, be a little bit more objective in the situation, everybody's got to give a little bit and everybody's got to take a little bit. And that's really where the magic starts to happen. But you've got to do it with a lot of grace. Nobody wants anybody to come after them because we already know that they're not adapting well, right? They're not adapting well to their life circumstances. So you cannot be another person in their life that's going to force them into the corner to make a real life, potentially dangerous situation. You've got to be the one there to say, listen, I'm going to be a voice of reason here. And I'm just going to just sit here with you and let you talk it out and see where it goes.
That's I think that's great advice. And I think you're right. I think a lot of people probably fall on each end of that spectrum a lot. Either they do nothing, either they don't recognize it or don't care, or they want to be Mr. or Mrs. Fix-It, right? And I'm going to, like what you said, that's probably almost as worse, is not as worse as bad, you know, is I'm going to drag you in now and you're going to tell me what's going on. And it's like, no, I'm not. And especially not when you're getting in my face with it, right? There's a way of doing that that's, because you're already in a scenario where I probably going to get triggered, to use your word a minute ago, pretty quickly to begin with. You're trying to force the fact that there's something wrong with me on me when I don't want to hear it right now is probably counterproductive at minimum, right?
Well, that's why oftentimes in organizations, we open up the dialogue and we let people start to reflect without coming at them. You know, I like to pull people towards me, not push myself onto people, but even asking people like, what would your dream life look like? Like, what is your relationship with your spouse look like? What is your relationship with your kids look like? You know, what does your job look like? And, you know, just start to reinvite them to the life that they ultimately want to create to get them more engaged and more excited. It's certainly not going to solve the problem. Most mental health issues, brain engagement is not where it needs to be. Does it have to be something that's urgent in a crisis? No. Is it something that with the right tools and the right people walking alongside you can be mitigated and actually, you know, solved in a relatively short period of time? Sure. But I invite people to do that inner work in a safe environment rather than coming at them saying, these are the things I can do to help you. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, we are our best teacher. So if people can come to that conclusion on their own, then they want to solve their own problem. They don't need someone else telling them that I can solve the problem for you. Because then it goes back to the mentality, I need other people to solve the problem for me. When really people just need the encouragement to help step into that solution themselves.
Wow. Yeah. So that one right there is a great spot to kind of draw this to the end, because it needs to be, what I think I'm hearing is at the end of the day, you need to put that person in a position to go, I think I need to talk about this a little bit. I think I have some issue I need to deal with, because it's triggers, it's fighting words, it's whatever non-professional that I am words that you start telling me you, all these things you're doing wrong and all these problems you got. I can guarantee you, I know myself, I'm fighting back, pushing back, shutting down, telling you to go pack sand, right? And then we don't get what we need to get when you do that, right?
Well, and respect in relationships is one of the most critical things. If you ask any man out there what he wants from his significant other, he'll say respect. He doesn't want to be controlled. He doesn't want to be manipulated. If you ask a wife out there, what does she want? She wants to be respected. She wants to have her ideas heard. She wants all of those things. People need different things, and that's totally fine. When people start to come as whole versions of themselves and they can start making those decisions for themselves, everybody starts to win. And all of a sudden you start getting a totally different personality, a totally different attitude, personality from people, because they're now stepping into their own power instead of letting someone else control and manipulate them based on what they think they need.
Perfect. Awesome. So we've been running how to contact you. The drsarahwheaton.com is the best, right? They can follow you on social. I know you're on LinkedIn, I believe, Instagram. Where else are they going to find you?
I mean, most people have all of that access to me, and that's plenty for them. So, you know, there's a link at the bottom of my website. If they want to get in touch with me, they can feel free to do that. That'll send it directly to my email. I think it's really important, even though I have a team of people, it's really important that I have the access to people who need me and organizations who want to touch base. But if you want to find me, you know where to find me.
There you go. And so you're open for people, whether it's individuals or businesses, whatever the case may be, if they think they have some issues and they want some professional help, some assistance, some guidance, it sounds like you're there for them.
Absolutely. It's a passion of mine, and I'm on a mission.
I love it. We've been on a mission, and I could tell with our conversation yesterday in prepping a little bit for the discussion today that I was very impressed by your mission-driven to help people. And that's pretty impressive. So I appreciate that.
It helps to have supportive people like you. So it's a team effort.
Well, so as we wander out of here, sometimes we always have, instead of a frequently asked question, a should ask question. This is your opportunity to, what did we miss today that you want to talk about? Please take some time for something we missed. I'm always open to just Randy Gallagher. You're a great guy. That works too. But, you know, just in case there's something else.
Well, Randy, you are a great guy. And thank you so much for having me. I will say, people always think they're the exception to the rule. So they're going to listen to this podcast episode and say that's for everybody else except for me. And I just want to reiterate that this is not, you are not the exception. You are just as much part of the solution with the outcomes that we expect for everybody else to live a joyful life as just as much as anybody else. So don't sell yourself short.
Love it. Beautiful. Sarah, thank you so much. I appreciate getting to know you better. Hello to Robert and Zach for me. And
I will. Absolutely.
We will, hey, listen, reach out to Dr. Sarah if she can help. And I know everybody needs some help. And if you think you do, reach out to her. You can tell if you cannot tell from this, the passion and how compassionate she is about this, then you haven't been listening. So it's very obvious, and she's there to help. There are people to help. So don't be afraid to do that. I'm talking from a guy perspective now, growing up in the construction world. That's like the last thing we want to admit, right? Is that we got anything wrong at all, and we'll just handle with a beer or two and life will be good. It's not always that easy. And there is help, and it can be a lot easier with the help, right, Doc?
Absolutely. And if I'm just a resource and a stepping stone for you, I know a lot of people as well. So
perfect. Team love effort. It. Perfect. That's it. Thank you so much for being on, Sarah. Appreciate you. That was great.
Talking to you. Thanks, Randy.
You bet. Yeah, you bet. Anytime. You want to come on again? We'll do it some other time again. I think it's a good subject. So,
absolutely.
All right. So there we are. Another day of loving what we do and doing what we love. Remember, live it, love it, own it. Because we only get one go around. And hey, while you're at it, go make today your best day ever. Till tomorrow. Yeah, I wrote that on it. Become a doctor, I think, like Dr. Sarah. She probably writes better than this idiot. But anyway, go make today huge. Let's go.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.